This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for November 17th through November 23rd, 2007. Two Palestinians died this week due to the continuing Israeli siege on the Gaza Strip, while this week Washington sent out invitations to various countries and organizations to attend the Annapolis summit. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the non-violent actions in Bethlehem and Ramallah. IMEMC's George Rishmawi with the details.
Residents of the village of Bilayin, near the West Bank city of Ramallah, organized their weekly anti-wall non-violent protest this Friday and were joined by a number of international and Israeli peace activists. Protesters marched through the village carrying banners demanding the dismantling of the wall and calling for national unity. Israeli troops intercepted the protest and prevented them from reaching the construction site of the wall by installing additional layers of barbed wire. As the protesters approached the wire, troops showered them with tear gas and rubber-coated steel bullets. Dozens were treated for gas inhalation, while five were wounded by the rubber bullets. Five, including two American protesters, two Palestinians, and an Israeli protester, were detained by the soldiers. One of the Palestinians detained was struck in the head by a police baton, resulting in a wound that required stitches. Another international who was not detained was struck in the temple by a rubber bullet, which left him disoriented. Brenna, one of the American protesters who was detained, describes the soldiers' violence against the nonviolent protesters.
The soldiers today dealt with us extremely violently. They beat a Palestinian man on the forehead, so he needs to get stitches in his head, and he was bleeding, and they still arrested him. As another Palestinian man was leaving the scene in Berlin, he was detained by about eight soldiers, and I tried to stop him, and so they pushed me, and another international tried to stop him, and they hit him very hard with a stick.
Meanwhile, troops assaulted and arrested an Israeli journalist identified as David. They released him and all other detainees an hour later. Residents of a number of villages in the Ramallah area organized a protest joined by a number of international and Israeli peace activists at Highway 443 on Friday after the noon prayer. Protesters carried anti-racism signs and Palestinian flags and demanded the Israeli authorities allow them to use this road that passes through the villagers' land. Troops installed barbed wire in an attempt to prevent the protesters from reaching the highway. However, the villagers insisted and managed to reach the road. Troops fired several rounds of rubber-coated steel bullets and tear gas at the protesters, however no injuries were reported. For 7 years in a row, Israel prohibits Palestinians from using this 200-mile road, which is built on the land of Palestinian villages and allows only Jewish settlers to use it. Dozens of residents of Al-Ma'sara village near the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem were joined by a group of Israeli and international peace activists on Friday at noon to protest the confiscation of their land. The Israeli army installed roadblocks to prevent the peace activists from reaching the village. The protesters marched to the lands that will be annexed for the expansion of a nearby settlement and the construction of the separation wall. After the Friday prayers, some protesters delivered speeches in Arabic and English, stressing the need to resist the land confiscation, labeling it as land theft. The Israeli troops who were at the scene attacked the demonstrators and prevented them from reaching the settlement road known as Road 60. One resident, identified as Bassam Ibrahim, 22, suffered light injuries. For IMEMC.org, this is George Rishmawi.
As the Annapolis summit approaches, Arab foreign ministers convene to prepare for it, and Palestinians remain uncertain about the chances of its success. IMEMC's Louisa White has more.
Washington this week sent out invitations to various countries and organizations to attend the Annapolis summit to revive the 7-year-long stalled Palestinian-Israeli peace. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert are expected to fly to Maryland in the United States to attend the Annapolis meeting. Egypt announced it would dispatch its Foreign Minister Ahmed Abu Al-Gait as Jordan and other Arab countries will attend the conference. In Cairo, foreign ministers of Arab states held meetings on Friday to discuss the basis on which the Arab countries will participate in the upcoming conference, with Damascus demanding that the occupied Syrian Golan Heights be tackled separately on the sideline of the summit. In a press briefing following the meeting, Saudi Foreign Minister Saad Faisal declared that his country will take part in the peace summit as a result of the Arab consensus. Media sources reported that the US has assured the Arab states that the occupied Golan Heights will be dealt with during the conference. Syria consequently are expected to attend, revealed the sources. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, in a meeting with Olmert in Cairo earlier this week, voiced hope the conference will bear fruits. The Annapolis meeting comes at a time when both Palestinians and Israelis are not in agreement about the core issues they are expected to discuss, despite repeated visits by the US Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice to the region over several months of coordination and preparations. Chances of success of the summit, according to analysts, are doubtful, with the Israeli Prime Minister facing corruption charges and Palestinian President controlling only half of the occupied Palestinian territories after a Hamas-led government took over the Gaza Strip in June. The Islamist Hamas group, which won the vast majority of the Palestinian parliament seats last January, completely opposes the conference, describing it as a loss, unless it solves the refugee problem and the Jerusalem issue fairly and in accordance with the international legitimacy resolutions. On Thursday, the deposed Palestinian Prime Minister of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, branded the summit as stillborn, while Hamas senior leader in Gaza, Mahmoud Azahar, believed that the underway Arab-Islamic division will contribute to the failure of the conference. Hamas has not been invited to the conference, being left in a 360-square-kilometre strip with a population of 1.4 million inhabitants under a complete strict Israeli kosher. In related news, the Middle East envoy Tony Blair visited the region this week, holding an economic plan claimed to be aimed at boosting the Palestinian economy and improving the living standards for the Palestinian people. Following a trilateral meeting in Jerusalem, which joined him with the Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad and Israeli Minister of Defence Ehud Barak, Blair announced four projects: the construction of an agro-industrial park in Jericho, an emergency sewage treatment project in North Gaza, the development of industrial zones, particularly in the area of Tarkamir, and tourism projects for both the Palestinian and Israeli sectors. The timing of revealing the economic plan in relation to the Annapolis summit triggered a number of questions regarding his plan and its underlying intentions. Nasser Ibrahim, Palestinian political analyst, commented,
"One cannot discuss Blair's plan without relating to Annapolis summit. The hosts of Annapolis attempt to create an atmosphere of optimism that things on the ground are moving forward and that negotiation between the Palestinians and the Israelis are progressing."
On his part, Prime Minister Fayyad said the Palestinian government hopes that the upcoming Paris meeting will provide more financial support for the Palestinians to help them revive the deteriorating economy, which has resulted from the long-term financial and political blockade imposed by the US, Israel and the EU for some 14 months, after Hamas won the parliamentary elections in January 2006. For IAMEMC.org, this is Louisa White.
During the week, the Israeli army conducted at least 35 military invasions in Palestinian communities in the West Bank. During those invasions, Israeli troops kidnapped 51 Palestinian civilians. IMEMC's Nate Brayman has more.
Including the civilians kidnapped this week, the number of Palestinians kidnapped by the Israeli army in the West Bank since the beginning of this year has risen to 2,446. At dawn on Saturday, Israeli troops attacked a Palestinian youth near the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem. Medical sources reported that the youth from the village of Tekoa east of Bethlehem sustained light wounds to his arms and legs and was moved to the public hospital for treatment in Bethlehem City. Witnesses reported that after invading the village, troops stopped the youth and attacked him without provocation. The Israeli army imposed a curfew on several Palestinian towns between Nablus and Qalqiyah after the announcement of the killing of an Israeli settler by Palestinian resistance fire overnight on Monday. Local sources reported that after midnight on Monday, scores of military vehicles invaded several towns and randomly opened fire and ransacked homes. On Tuesday, the Israeli High Court sentenced Sheikh Taysir al-Tamimi, head of the Islamic Supreme Islamic Judicial Council in Palestine, to 6 months of suspended imprisonment. He was charged with entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque in East Jerusalem without a permit. Al-Tamimi rejected the charges and sentence, saying that the permit system for Palestinian faithful who wish only to pray at the Holy Mosque is unfair and a violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention. According to international human rights workers living in the area, a Palestinian man was detained, blindfolded, and beaten by Israeli forces Monday night in the Tel Rumeid neighborhood of Hebron. The attack occurred on the man's property just 2 meters from his door. On Wednesday, Israeli troops handed out military orders to villagers from Al-Khadr village, south of Bethlehem City, in the southern part of the West Bank, that prevent them from continuing to construct their homes. Sources in the village said that the military orders included 7 homes that were already under construction. In addition, the Israeli army also demolished a well used by farmers in Al-Khadr and told others that their wells will also soon be destroyed. The Israeli army said that the homes and wells must also be demolished and removed since they are obstacles to the planned route of the illegal wall that is being built on land stolen by the army from the village. For IMEMC.org, this is Nate Bremen.
The Israeli army continued its closure of the Gaza Strip this week. 2 civilians died because the Israeli army refused to allow them to leave Gaza for medical treatment. From Gaza, IMEMC's Rami Al-Mughari with the details.
This week, two Palestinian civilians died because the Israeli army refused to allow them to leave the Gaza Strip for medical treatment. On Monday, a 12-year-old boy, Tamer Sheher Liavji from Gaza City, died at the Gaza Children's Hospital after his application to seek medical attention outside Gaza was delayed by the Israeli authorities. Tamer died from untreated chickenpox. IMEMC spoke to Dr. Ismail Yassin of the intensive care unit at the Children's Hospital.
The patient's condition was worsening due to the pressure on his brain. He was moved to the ICU, and we were waiting for the transfer, but he died this morning because he was not allowed to be transferred for treatment in Israel.
On Thursday, a 21-year-old man with testicular cancer died after being denied exit. Nail al-Kurdi was one of 11 plaintiffs on a lawsuit challenging the Israeli closure of all entries into and exits from Gaza, but the Israeli court ruled against him and six of the others. One of the other plaintiffs has also died since the ruling came through last week. Also on Thursday, Palestinian sources reported that two Palestinian resistance fighters were killed by the Israeli army at the northern Gaza-Israeli borders. In a statement faxed to press, the Al-Aqsa Brigades, the armed wing of Fatah, said that two of their fighters were taking part in the fight against an Israeli military outpost on the eastern Gaza-Israel borderline when they were attacked by the Israeli soldiers. Another man, Nidal Al-Najjar, 35, died on Thursday morning of wounds he sustained on Tuesday from an Israeli army attack on the southern Gaza Strip city of Khan Yunis. Also Thursday, local Palestinian sources confirmed that the three Palestinian resistance fighters were shot and wounded during armed clashes with Israeli armed forces on the string borders of the Gaza Strip. Palestinian medical sources in the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis announced Tuesday morning one Palestinian was killed and another three injured, one seriously, after Israeli forces opened fire on civilian homes in the Khazaa town to the east of Khan Yunis city. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mighari in Gaza.
Resistance factions warned the Palestinian Authority against attacking resistance fighters while political tension reaches the Palestinian universities. IMEMC's Manar Jibreen with the details.
Hamas sources said that at least 30 members of their movement were arrested by the Fatah security forces throughout the West Bank this week. The movement also accused Fatah security forces of attacking schools and mosques dominated by Hamas. Among those arrested by Fatah was a Hamas leader, Hussam al-Qaltouni, 50, a member of the northern West Bank city of Nablus's municipal council. Palestinian resistance fighters from several groups called this week for insurance for the Palestinian resistance fighters in the backdrop of recent Palestinian security services crackdown on fighters from the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. The PA's security services have recently chased a number of Palestinians who they say have been involved in causing internal unrest in the West Bank city of Nablus. The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, for its part, rejected the crackdown, saying those pursued were members of its armed wing, the Abu Ali Mustafa Brigades. On Wednesday night, unknown assailants detonated an explosive device in a Palestinian police vehicle to the west of the Jabalia refugee camp in the northern Gaza Strip, causing no injuries but damages to the vehicle. On Tuesday at midday, Birzeit University suspended teaching indefinitely due to an attack by unknown gunmen on one of the university students late on Monday night. Dr. Ghassan Andoni, the director of the public relations office at the university, told IMEMC that the university will be closed until the administration is sure that the campus is safe for the students and the staff. There was an atmosphere of high tension at Birzeit University between political student groups after the last week's attacks by Fatah supporters at the left faction's rally that was organized in the university to mark the declaration of independence of the Palestinians. For IMEMC.org, this is Manar Jibreen.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, www.imemc.org. Thanks for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This is Amanda Johns and Ghassan Banoura.